Eye on the Arctic, views from the north, I'm Elish Quinn. Now, during the recent United Nations Climate Change Conference, Eye on the Arctic brought you a series of interviews with Indigenous leaders from across northern Canada. And we did this to get their perspectives on international climate negotiations in general and how well Arctic Indigenous views are represented. Now, and while we heard strong support for the process, like COP21, we also heard about a series of concerns in terms of the lack of emphasis put on climate adaptation in the north in the context of these negotiations, and how the agreement, now that it's been signed, will be interpreted by signatory countries like Canada in the coming months. Now, to find out more about this agreement and what it might mean for the Arctic, I'm joined now by Okalakigisiak. She's the chair of the Inuit Circumpolar Council. That's the organization that represents the roughly 155,000 Inuit in Russia, Alaska, Canada, and Greenland. And she joins me on the line today from Ottawa, Canada. Okalakigisiak, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What will the COP21 agreement mean for Inuit communities in the Arctic?
I think a lot of things. It depends on how we will be included in the rollout of the agreement. It won't prevent climate impacts. It won't prevent climate change. But it depends on how we are involved at the local, territorial, and national levels, and the international levels, I guess, with 190 countries negotiating a major agreement like this. It was historic, yes, and Sami peoples as the Arctic region wanted to have more recognition and respect for Arctic peoples, but it depends on the rollout, I think.
Meaning how this agreement actually ends up being interpreted in the various countries?
Yes, and interpreted and implemented. There is some mention of Indigenous peoples and our rights and our role in climate change, but there isn't much commitment to work with us.
I didn't see the Arctic mentioned in the final document. I'm just wondering, what does that tell us about the international community's understanding of how climate change is affecting Inuit and Arctic communities? And what is it? How do we understand that on the one hand it being held up as a symbol, but on the other hand, in the terms of these international negotiations, that it's not mentioned?
You're absolutely right. One of the things that Inuit and I especially pointed out is that when the Arctic is mentioned and singled out at these things, the polar bear is usually used as an icon. And I asked, we've been asking as ICC and educating people that polar bears aren't the spokespeople for climate change in the Arctic, that it's the peoples of the Arctic that should be used as icons or as awareness and education. The fact that animals are used is more emotional than fact-based. And when Inuit are used, Inuit knowledge is taken into consideration and Inuit input is sought. It's more beneficial for the rest of the world. So stop using polar bears and seals as the emotional icon and use Inuit as fact-based traditional knowledge holders.
And when, for example, you were in Paris and you brought up those issues, what sort of response do you have or what do people say in terms of why the Arctic wouldn't be singled out in the same way for funds and greater support the way some of the developing nations are?
Yeah, it's one thing to say that to our respective potential partners. It's another thing to come back to come back home and implement it. So Canada was the lead in advocating for Indigenous peoples, which is great, and the fact that they were also lobbying for the 1.5 degree Celsius issue was also good. We hope that their commitment to climate change and them being back at the table will also include Indigenous peoples here.
And the other, when we did the, that I mentioned at the top, the series of interviews with Indigenous leaders, Inuit or Gwich'in in Northern Canada, we heard universal support for the whole process and sort of how Canada is approaching it. But we also heard a lot of concerns about things like, you know, if there's a carbon tax, how is that going to affect Indigenous people in the North where the economies are fragile, where fuel is so expensive. You know, from ICC's perspective, what sort of things are you looking for where they roll out, how they're going to apply this agreement?
We are concerned about that because we don't contribute as much as Southern Canada or other countries to these emissions. But we'd also like to be included in proposing and investing in renewable resource. All of our communities are dependent on diesel for things like heating. So we'd like to see more renewable resource research and development for our communities.
You know, when we've been talking to people in the North about climate change, usually the first things people bring up is the sort of social and cultural impacts of climate change. I wanted to get your perspective of whether you feel, do politicians and media as well, do they fully understand, you know, this idea of the social and cultural impacts of climate change, and do strategies need to be put in place to look at that aspect?
Absolutely. These have to be included. These issues have to be included. Like Inuit have been saying for 30, 40 years, climate change is impacting us at the local level, and our animal migration patterns, and even one of our Greenland delegates had an example of how skins are changing and how much more challenging it is to work with our skins in making our clothing and our tools. So, yes, these things have to be included. And Sheila Wakluche was one of the first people to make people aware of this and how it is impacting our human rights as Indigenous peoples, the fact that it's changing our culture and our tradition.
What do you want to see from politicians in the weeks and months ahead as this agreement is interpreted for Canada?
Our involvement, our inclusion, our participation as Inuit. People know, I think people are aware that ICC signed a protocol position paper with Denmark and Nunavut while in Paris, released a position paper while in Paris, and a joint statement that we have to be included. We should be included. And I don't think it's just the four countries that ICC wants to work with, will work with. We want to work with all the Arctic states that are in the Arctic Council because they have a role to play in this as well with the American chairmanship under the Arctic Council and their priority for climate change, and with Canada as well now. We will work with all Arctic states, and we hope that they include us in the rollout.
Okalika Gisiak, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Yes, thank you very much.